Thank you, Andrew, for those heartfelt prayers. And indeed, Jesus is our only hope. Good morning, Community Church. It's so great to be with you this morning, to worship together, just to share this time together, and just sending you my love and peace of Christ be with all of you. And a very warm welcome to you if you are a guest with us this morning. I would personally love to get to know you, to connect with you. So reach out to us and let us give us a chance to warmly welcome you into this family. So I don't know about you, but I'm kind of feeling a little cold. It's a little chilly, huh? And you know, watching Merrily to pretend swim, that kind of made me even colder. But I feel warm. Because I am with you all this morning, and I hope you are keeping yourself toasty warm also at home. You're probably holding a cup of coffee or hot chocolate as you're watching this online. So we have just started a new sermon series, and it's called Generous Love. And last week, Ivan kicked us off with a beautiful sermon called The Portrait of Grace, where he showed us what God's grace and mercy is like. And today, we're going to look at something that's connected to God's grace and mercy. What is it? It's compassion. So mercy and grace begin with compassion. Think of it this way. When we have compassion, when we are moved with compassion, we are more likely to extend mercy and to extend grace to people, don't you think? Well, of course, we also know that sometimes we can do all those good things. We can perform acts of grace and mercy with other motives, or rather we are motivated differently. Do you think it's possible? Yeah, I absolutely think it's possible, and I'm going to give you examples. But if you know of how it could be possible to do that, I want to encourage you to share with us in the chat box. We can do that when we want to extend, you know, do good things because it makes me feel less guilty about having it better than the other person. Or it can make me look good. Or it can, yeah, maybe it's an image thing that I'm trying to build. Or it can make, or rather it serves me socially or professionally. And it could also improve my tax position. But you know what, church? So much of what Jesus did and said came from his compassion. He was moved with compassion. And this compassion of Jesus is a lot deeper and wider than what we might think. And I've discovered that for myself. So let me tell you how I discovered that. So I've known Jesus now for 32 years. Well, because it's 2021 now, so that would be 32 years. And you know what? I've had an amazing and beautiful journey with Jesus, my Lord. But it was not always easy. You know, there were seasons where I got really angry with him, seasons that I love him madly, and also seasons of maybe rebelling against him. I don't know if you could identify with that. But so that was my journey. And so my journey of experiencing his compassion has its seasons too. So, you know, when I first came to know the Lord when I was 13, I was just amazed by his love because he would reach out to me. He pursued me and he reached out to me and he set me free from the spiritual bondage that I was in. It was real and it was profound. And I just fell in love with Jesus deeply. And then fast forward many years, so many, many years later, I was in a different season. There was a significant relationship in my life, and I was deeply, deeply hurt in that relationship. And of course, I was angry with Jesus, like, why did you let it happen? So I'll be angry with him, but I was also very grateful because I experienced so much comfort from him. His compassion was so real, so overwhelming in a good way, you know. And I could feel him feeling for me, him sitting with me, and him crying with me. And I thought to myself, my God is so good. My God is so compassionate. What would I do without him? And then the next season. And so I was slowly finding my feet again. And I encountered again the compassion of Jesus. But this time, it was different. Why was it different? Well, because the compassion of Jesus was, he was directed at the person who hurt me. You know, so Jesus showed me just how much he was filled with compassion for that particular individual. And I said, of course, Jesus, you have called us to love our neighbors, including those who have caused us hurt. Of course, you have compassion for him, and I have too. Okay, no, I did not do that. Well, I did not feel that way at all. I was angry. I was livid. I was like, Jesus, no, what do you mean? That person hurt me, don't you know? It's not fair. How could you have compassion on him? He deserves punishment. You know, and I really struggle, you know, here. While knowing things here, it doesn't mean that I can translate to feeling it here, right? And so, I struggled for a while. But over time, I found myself loving Jesus more and more. Why? Because if Jesus could have compassion on the person who hurt others, then surely his compassion for me would not run out when I'm the one hurting others. We all hurt others, don't we? If not in action, in words. So do you know this Jesus? Do you know this compassionate Jesus? Do you know his heart for you? And do you know his heart for others? It's my prayer today that you encounter this Jesus deeply as we open the Word. Vanessa will be reading the Word for us this morning. Our scripture for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35 to chapter 10, verse 1. Thank you, Vanessa.
Then Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were bewildered and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, so they could cast them out and heal every kind of disease and sickness.
Let us pray, church. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, so thankful for your generous love for us. And this morning, as we open the Word, Lord, I pray that every one of us who is online, who is watching this, will encounter you in a life-changing way. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit. I am just a vessel. So I pray, Lord, move in this place. Move in the living rooms of people. Move in the bedrooms of people. Move in the homes of people. Everyone is crying out for you, whether they know you or not. So God, meet them. Meet us where we need to be met. Amen. So, church, I think that for many of you, this is a familiar passage, right? Especially the part about, you know, the harvest being plentiful and that we don't have enough workers. I think it's familiar because it's often used to encourage or to motivate us to share the gospel or to take part in different missionary or ministry work or organizations. And I think it's great because it does make us aware of what's needed there and also make us aware of Jesus' heart. But there is this other part that Matthew would like us to focus on too, that before the action, there was the compassion. Jesus did the things he did because he was moved with compassion. And for us, you know, I know for people like us, you know, we are practical and we love to do. So we love to get into the actions, but we want to be getting into action for Jesus, not primarily because the workers are few, but because we are moved with compassion. It's more than a duty, and it's more than a project. It's more than getting a job done. So what is this compassion of Jesus, and how are we to respond to this compassion? So what's Jesus' compassion like? Now, let's start with the word compassion. What does it mean to have compassion? Did you know that the phrase to have compassion in Greek is actually connected to the, well, it's something that we don't say in polite conversations, but it's connected to the bowels. You know, like the entrails or the intestines or the intestines, depending on where you're from. So people in ancient times regarded the bowels as the seat of human emotions. So it's a little bit like this. Today we talk about, I love you with all my heart. Or we do this, right? But maybe, well, I don't know exactly how they express the love, but I wonder what it's like to say, I love you with all my intestines. Actually, you know what, church, you can see the use of bowels, the word bowels, in the older versions of the Bible. So in the newer NIV, Paul says in Philemon 1:20, refresh my heart in Christ. But in the older King James Version, it's refresh my bowels in the Lord. So anyway, all this to say that to have compassion means literally to feel intensely and deeply in your gut. You know, it's like a gut-wrenching sensation. And Jesus had compassion on the crowds because they were bewildered and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, what's the nature of this compassion of Jesus? What kind of people are considered bewildered and helpless? Do you think it includes people like you or people like me? Now, let's find out, okay? But to find out, we need to backtrack a little. Okay, let me read to you one more time the two verses that Matthew said in this passage. Then Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were bewildered and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, so what Matthew is doing here is that he's making a summary statement. See, Matthew makes these summary statements in different places in the gospel, and this is not the only one. Some summary statements point forward, some point backwards. And this one is pointing backwards. So what is this a summary of? So it's a summary of Jesus' ministry in chapters 5 to 9, which is a few chapters before our passage today. So he's showing us that compassion motivates Jesus' many activities in those chapters. What are these activities? Well, in chapters 5 to 7, what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, he did a lot of teaching. Why was he teaching? Because the crowds were like sheep without a shepherd. There was no one to lead them in the way they should go. No one to tell them right from wrong, how to live or what to live for. And so Jesus had compassion on them. He preached the good news of the kingdom of God to them. And he taught them many things. And you, I think you will know some of these things. Such as, love your enemies. Be peacemakers. Don't be mastered by money. You can't serve two masters. He's talking about idolatry there. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye but fail to see the beam of wood in your own? And so on and so forth. Then in chapters 8 and 9, we see the healing ministry of Jesus. Jesus healed people from different types of afflictions, like like bleeding, like leprosy, like blindness and demon possession. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. There was no one to care for their well-being, no one to tend to their wounds, no one to look after them. And Jesus had compassion on them and attended to them like a good shepherd would. But the thing is, church, the healing ministry of Jesus is more than just physical healing. It points to something greater. It's symbolic of something more all-encompassing. See, what breaks his heart is not just leprosy or bleeding, although his heart does break terribly for those afflictions. But what breaks his heart is everything that threatens the wholeness of people, the wholeness of societies, of communities, of Hong Kong. What breaks his heart is sin and its effect on people's lives. It breaks his heart. See, broken people behave and love and live and speak, sometimes in broken ways. And I'm one of those broken people. You know, while I want to love you a certain way, but I might not always manage to love you the way I want to love you. And I don't always behave in ways that bring life to people. You get me there? But Jesus has compassion for our brokenness. His compassion is for every form and dimension of human brokenness. And his healing is for every form and dimension of human brokenness. But does that mean then, just because he has compassion, that he is permissive, or that he condones broken behavior? No. And you can see that's why he's teaching, right? He's always teaching the crowd. This is the way to go, not that way. But no. Also, because someone has to bear the consequences of our broken behaviors, because our God is the God of justice. Someone has to pay. And it was paid on the cross. Jesus died for every form and dimension of human brokenness. He died for you. He died for me. He died for the poor. And the sick, of course. He died for the person in that significant relationship I mentioned earlier. He died for the Pharisees. He died for the people who nailed him to the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. He died for George Floyd and also those who hurt him. And who do you think he died for here in this next slide? Church, behind every broken action or behavior or word spoken or even an opinion or an idea or an agenda, behind those things is a broken person in need of Jesus. Jesus has compassion for every broken person. You know, we like, or sometimes we talk about, you know, people who are hard to love. Yeah, right. I mean, maybe for us, you know, some people are hard to love, some people. But I don't think Jesus finds some people harder to love than others. You know, I love what Marilee said just now. He loves you when you're good. He loves you when you're bad. I'm going to add, he loves others when they are good. And he loves others when they are bad. Do you? Church, we all need Jesus. How are we going to respond to him? First, come to Jesus with all your brokenness. You know, Jesus has compassion on the things that you struggle with. I have my own struggles, and I know you do too. And some of the struggles are hard because it just keeps happening. But come to Jesus with your brokenness. He wants to enter into those places. He wants to be there. You know, and we don't need to pretend. We don't need to pretend that we have it all together because we don't. No one does. So invite him in. Let him set you free. Let him heal you. And second, pray to be filled with compassion for others. Now, think of it this way. I could say be compassionate for others, but you see, I don't think you can force yourself to have compassion. See, you can force yourself to share the gospel or feed the poor or attend the sick or force yourself to come to church sometimes, but I don't think you can force yourself to have compassion, especially for people who have hurt you. Maybe family members, maybe people at work, maybe it's your boss, or maybe it's people who don't share your political views. But take heart. Jesus is not looking at you going, why don't you have compassion like I have? You know, those are things that we may do to other people. You know, like, why are you not like me? Why are you not as committed as me? Why are you not as disciplined as me? Why are you not as holy as I am? That's self-righteousness. Jesus is looking at you and inviting you to taste his goodness and to experience afresh his compassion for you. And maybe for some of you, you don't know Jesus yet, and yet Jesus is inviting you. And for others, maybe you are feeling lukewarm or that your love has grown cold and you're just trudging along. Jesus says, come, abide in me and you will know my heart, and you will see what I see, and you will feel what I feel, and you will desire what I desire. My compassion will be your compassion. Come to Jesus. And finally, to my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm addressing you, all of us, as the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. You know, I was meditating on that passage, for today, and I was reading the passage over and over and over again, and I felt compelled to write down something that was just stirring in my heart, and I have written them down, and I'm going to read that to you. So this is not so much a response that I'm suggesting, but I'm going to read it and really just invite the Holy Spirit to lift up to you what he wants you to hear and how he wants you to respond. Then Jesus went throughout all the neighborhoods of Hong Kong, from Chai Wan to Siong Wan, to Kennedy Town, to the Peak, to Mong Kok, to Sham Shui Po, to Yuen Long, teaching in the places where people meet, telling them about the good news of the kingdom of God, healing their bodies, mind and spirit, healing them from their torn and tattered lives, giving them hope. Seeing the crowds, he was filled with compassion. They were confused and lost, not knowing what they are living for or striving for. They were treasuring and chasing after things that do not last or bring them life. Some do not have enough to eat. In fact, many do not have enough to eat. And some are feeling like they are outcasts because their skin color looks different. And many are consumed by fear and anger because of all that's been going on with COVID and the political situation, not knowing what to make of it because they don't know the heart of the Father. They don't know how the Father feels about those things, about COVID, about political agenda. And many are suffering from anxiety and depression, not knowing what to do or where to find hope, like sheep without a shepherd. Church, Jesus was moved by compassion to preach, to teach, and to bring healing. He was moved by compassion to send his disciples out on a mission. this historical mission of the disciples is the mission of the worldwide body of Christ today, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God, to teach them what the kingdom of God is about, what kingdom living is like, and to bring healing, not by our own strength and power, but by the authority and the power of the one who says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." We're going to take a moment now with Jesus as the worship team plays for us. And this is what I'll say to you. Bring whatever you have to Jesus. Open your hearts and invite Him in to speak freely and to minister to you freely. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us today.